Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We welcome back photographer Charlie Samuels to the show today, which is a bit of a shame as it's the car show. But it's the photography show. Charlie has been a photographer for over 25 years. He has photographed everyone from the Obama family on the White House lawn to the United Nations General Assembly. He served as personal photographer to the FIFA president for a time. Presumably, no incriminating photographs were taken. We'll find out. And his work has appeared in the New York Times, where he's been a stringer, New York Magazine, many other prestigious publications. He's also taught photography at Skidmore College. He is here to answer your questions about everything from taking a portrait to nature photography to candid photography. Charlie Samuels, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Nice to have you here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So you photographed the Obama family on the White House lawn. That must have been pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. I got to meet B.B. King and a bunch of other musicians as well.
What was the occasion?
It was the Christmas tree lighting of the, for the White House.
Oh, perfect. Because my question to start the show has to do with holiday photographs. And I must confess that I find them to be exasperating. You take a picture of the group. And Aunt Mildred, you look at she looks enormous. One of the nephews has his finger in his nose. How do you take a good group photograph on the holidays?
That's a really good question. And you know what's great about that? It's really important to take a group shot when you're getting your family together. That is a story in itself.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And most of them are very, very strange stories. How do you make everyone behave, first of all?
Well, first, that's the biggest challenge, just wrangling and getting everybody to get in one place and, everybody's messing around. But once you get that camera in front of them, they start smartening up, start shooting pictures even before they're ready. Just shoot as many as you can.
That's not a bad idea.
Because you're going to get some really interesting, candid, photojournalistic almost photographs that way. But also keep in mind to try to get their feet also. Get the whole body. Because the farther you stand back, the more pleasing the face looks.
In other words, you're saying most of the families are fairly ugly? Use a soft focus?
Well, excuse me.
Okay. All right.
It's just better to do that, and you also get to see everybody in the environment. And the higher you stand, the better it is too, because people can look up. But the main thing is, it turns your camera into a semi-telephoto. The farther you step back, the more telephoto your camera is operating like.
Well, that makes sense.
And also, if you have a current cell phone right now, the detail is so good that you can zoom in on those faces and still use it really well.
Very interesting. And, we talk at times on this program, we get many calls about which lens is good and what should I use for a camera. But for you, content is king.
Content is king. I have like a list of an order of importance, of what photography really is. And the last one on the list is the technical gearhead stuff.
Yeah.
The first one is content. What's in front of your camera? That's so important, obviously. And the second one is light. Some people think light makes every picture, all 100% pictures. You can have a wonderful photograph with bad light. It's possible. Then the glass is really important. The Schneider lenses from Germany or whatever. That is something people overlook. And then, of course, the sensor or the film. It used to be film. The more detailed that is, the more the algorithms are attuned to large prints, the better that's going to work.
But how does one get an eye, without photographing things for 25 years as you have done, how do you get an eye for, this is an interesting photograph? It's an innate thing, right? Like writing music?
Yeah, there's many different ways to look at that, but mainly I think the most important thing is the concept, basically the idea. It's doing something different. Photographing something in a different way, in a different angle. Mm. And that gets people's attention. And, if you're putting it on the web, that's what you want, right?
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Our guest is Charlie Samuels. We talk photography today. Let's go to Colleen in High Falls. Colleen.
Hi, Charlie. My question for you is that a couple of years ago, I saw a show by Catherine Opie where she photographed ice huts in Michigan. In
ice
Michigan.
Huts?
Yes.
Okay.
And they were printed really large, but really detailed. And I am an amateur photographer. I have a a digital 35 millimeter. I have an old film 35 millimeter. But where do you even get something printed that large?
Well, a processing lab, or you buy a printer. That's basically the way I do it. I really don't print much because I'm a professional and I basically just everything is digital for me. Pretty soon I'll be printing some stuff for a fundraiser, but I'm going to be using my own Epson output printer, which is fairly large. It's like the size of three laptops. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt. What's the largest print that you can develop out of that?
11 by 17.
11 by 17. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good size.
Yeah. So I would recommend Epson output or Canon makes really good printers, but they all need very expensive ink. So be prepared for that.
Right. it's an investment.
But yeah. If you're going to be printing 40 prints or 100 prints, I would recommend that. If not, go to a lab, or there's plenty of online labs like Shutterfly and stuff.
Okay.
And if you have the time, you give them your print, get it back in the mail, make sure it's good, and then tell them to do it again.
Okay.
All right. Thanks
Colleen.
Thanks
for your help.
Appreciate
okay.
the call.
Bye now.
Charlie Samuels is our guest. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. But what about really huge pictures? I've been to museums where they have wall-size photographs. How do you go about doing that?
That's a really good question. I've never done that, but I know Skidmore has a really huge printer there, and people have offered that to me.
What do you mean really huge?
It's probably as big as this table.
You're
which
kidding
is like
me.
6 feet or 8 feet wide. Yeah, and that's for fine art prints. And I'd love to print some of my shots that big.
What about the old days when we used film? It was, you've seen. There's always in the Perry Mason, somebody goes into a dark room and blows up. How do you blow up a piece of film? How do you make a blow up?
Well, you have an enlarger that's very high, and you put the.
What's an enlarger? I mean, in the old days when they had film, you put it in the chemicals. You're in the dark room.
Right.
How do you make an enlargement doing it that way?
Well, you use an enlarger, which it's a huge thing that projects the image of the negative all the way on the floor, and the larger the distance between the light and the negative and the print, the larger your print is going to be.
Now I understand. You need the negative first, the real size, the regular size negative.
Yep.
Fascinating, but you can't get good detail that way, right? The bigger
sure
it is, the
can.
Less the detail?
No, it's still, well, the bigger it is, the less detail because it's larger, of course. But, of course, you can get great detail with a small 35 millimeter negative and a 6 foot by 8 foot print.
Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you bring some in to the next show?
Okay, next time I'll bring it.
And no one can see it. Well, no, I guess you can see it. You can go to WAMC.org and you can watch the fascinating goings-on here in Studio A as we talk photography with Charlie Samuels. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. What's the biggest mistake Ray can make when he's taking his family photos at Thanksgiving?
Putting your thumb in front of the lens.
Which I do, by the way, all the time, because I'm using an iPhone.
Yeah.
But you can see that. You have the big monitor, and eventually...
Well, not necessarily. Sometimes you're nervous when you're taking a shot, and
Quite the opposite. It's the eggnog, really, that I'm very, very relaxed.
Now, here's another mistake you can make. Take one shot.
Yeah.
Okay? The joke about professionals is that they just take tons of shots, and that's how they get paid to do it.
Yeah.
But, you got to pay attention to that. You need to take many shots. Why not? Especially in this digital age. We're not paying for film. We're not paying for processing.
Yeah, you're right.
Just take tons of shots.
All right, let's go to Sue in Amherst. Sue, you're on with Charlie Samuels.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Sue.
I'm wondering about my iPhone when I shoot and get a 72 DPI res, and then I email it or download it to my iMac, and I convert to a high res, like 300 DPI. Mm-hmm. Is that the best thing to do?
Well, first of all, whenever you talk DPI, you have to talk, you know, the dimensions as well. If it's 72 DPI and it's 45 inches wide, then you've got great detail, almost, you know, as good as a professional camera. The best thing to do is take the original file and don't alter it. And
because compression comes into play there?
Well, another way to do that would be to save it as a TIFF file. Every time you close and open a JPEG file, you're degrading the image. So most photos on cell phones are compressed into JPEGs.
All right, hold that thought. We'll take a break here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Back with Charlie Samuels in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield. Working with New York Diamond District artisans to create customized jewelry. UnusualWeddingRings.com. The Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.com for catalog and online ordering. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, AmherstCopy.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, WaldorfSaratoga.org. And Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Charlie Samuels is our guest. Now, you said before the break that every time you open a JPEG and save it in a different way or whatever, you're losing resolution?
Well, what I said is every time you open a JPEG and save it as a JPEG, you're degrading the digital image.
So if you have an original JPEG on your desktop and you save a copy, you have degraded it?
Yeah.
Really?
Only once is not going to do much. But you know, a JPEG is a form of compression.
Right.
So
it's not going to recompress, is it?
Yeah, definitely. But if you have a TIFF file, if you save that JPEG as a TIFF file, then you can open it many, you know, hundreds of thousands of times.
Interesting.
As a TIFF file, and it's not going to degrade.
Huh. Well, I've learned something new. Let's go to Doug in Steventown. Doug.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
How you doing, Ray? Good to be on the show.
Nice to have you here.
I just wanted to pass along a comment. I know that we had to make a picture of my boss to put up on a billboard, and those people handled it quite nicely as far as getting a print that was, you know, 8 foot by 4 foot.
So that was an actual size picture of your boss's head?
Well, yeah, he had a pretty big head.
Yeah.
So anyways,
that's
just wanted to pass that along. Those are the people who would be able to blow you up any size photograph.
Thank you.
The resolution would hold together or not is another thing entirely, but I just wanted to pass that along.
Thanks for the call, Doug.
Okay, Ray, take care.
Have a good one. 1-800-348-2551. Kevin in Port Jervis. Kevin.
Yes, so I have an interest in Stanhope photography. I'd like to actually do a do-it-yourself project. And I'm wondering if there's any easy way to convert a regular image or a digital image or film image small enough to be used in a Stanhope.
All right, what's a Stanhope photograph? Anybody?
Back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, there were certain devices or toys or sometimes little objects where you have a little peephole and you can see photographs through that peephole. Sometimes it's inserted in pens or Sometimes carnivals used to give them out, but they're kind of obscure now. Huh. But I'm still interested in making one. I don't know if you have any information on it.
That sounds really interesting. Sounds like an old school, genuine, you know. I don't know. Sounds really interesting. But what's your question?
Well, I'd like to actually think of a way to do a do-it-yourself type of Stanhope. I have some images that I want to convert into a Stanhope. Uh-huh. And I basically need something as small as possible. If there was like a slide, for example, or something much smaller than 35 millimeter, even smaller than 110, if I can do something that's not a negative and use a slide, I can get it small enough to be a Stanhope. Or if I can reduce a digital or conventional image to a small enough size and put it on a transparency, that would work as well.
Well, you know, if you're going small, you're going to have no problem converting almost any photograph to go small. You know, I mean, you're not going to degrade the image because the smaller it is, the sharper it does appear to a viewer. So I encourage you to take almost any photograph and try that if it's that tiny.
Wow. That's a very specific question, Kevin, and one we don't often get on the program. Good luck with that. Let us know how you did.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. You know, speaking of strange formats, I was recalling only a few days ago that the Bethlehem Public Library, the old one, way back in the early 70s, they used to have these stereographs. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess it was quite the thing in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They would take two images, and then you'd have a viewer that you would hold,
right,
and you'd get stereoscopic images, and it was really cool.
Yeah, those are nice.
I actually inquired with the library if they still had the set, and they gave them away. It's probably worth a fortune. All right, let's go to Jim in North Pownall, Vermont. Jim.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Jim.
I got a question about batteries. I've got a beautiful 70s vintage Honeywell Pentax that is designed to operate on a mercury battery, and you can't get mercury batteries anymore. Is there a substitute for that, or am I just totally out of luck with being able to use this camera anymore?
Well, you're totally out of luck with me knowing about this. I just don't know about those mercury batteries and how to replace them.
There's got to be a similar size that is lithium ion or something, right?
Yeah, there may be. But I would just do the research on the net as best you can and try to find it. But, you know, we shouldn't be using mercury anymore, and I guess that's the reason.
Yeah.
Good. Let us know how you did next time Charlie's on.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. So let's see, Stanhope photographs, mercury batteries. How else can we stump Charlie Samuels today? Please call in with your underwater photography questions. Well, you probably have done that, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
let's go to Susan in Voorheesville. Susan.
Hi. I have a question about underwater cameras.
Oh, my heavens.
Yes.
Right.
All right, fine.
We're traveling to Ecuador this winter, and I'm going to be going to the Galapagos, and we're going to be going to the Amazon. So I wanted to take, like, a waterproof or water-resistant camera that would take good pictures in all the environments, like of birds, of whatever, because some of the underwater cameras seem very inexpensive and aren't going to do it.
Okay.
Any advice?
All right. Well, being a professional, I don't know a lot about those kind of little small cameras that you want to take along with you on vacation. But I can tell you that we're living in an age right now where no matter what price point you're at, you can get a great quality camera. The GoPro is a very famous camera. It's very tiny, and that's waterproof. That would be nice, but the only problem there is it has a very wide-angle lens. So if you want to get close to a bird, that isn't going to cut it. So there are probably there's a bunch of cameras in the $200 to $400 range that are waterproof, that are great for kids, as a matter of fact, because, you know, they drop them.
Yeah,
and, you
spill
know,
chocolate milk on them.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
right.
They're at the beach with them. And those are what I recommend for kids for Christmas presents.
I have been looking online, and most of them have a 5X setting and maybe internal 10. Mm. And they say that it really degrades, like if you're trying to take a picture of a bird or whatever, that the internal magnification kind of degrades the picture.
Definitely. It's almost useless. I wouldn't ever internally magnify something on a digital camera. I would crop it after you get the photo back, because it just degrades the image.
So don't use the telephoto on your camera?
Well, use the optical telephoto, you know, the optical zoom.
Right.
But, you know, if it extends beyond that and you know that's a digital zoom, don't use it.
Okay.
Right, because about the highest I can get is a 5 in that price range. I'd have to go up to like 6 or 7 to get into a higher range than that. So.
Right. I try to avoid it at all costs. Just get the original and crop it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, have fun on your trip, Susan.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Charlie Samuels is our guest. Jim in Albany. Jim.
Hello. I'm wondering if there's any advantage to saving something in a raw image.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So what is that?
A raw image is what the camera... Basically, it's the most raw, this is where it comes from, the most raw form of file.
So the original file that the camera takes the photograph
right.
in.
Right. All cameras take raw images, as far as I understand, and then almost all of them convert them immediately into a JPEG or a TIFF or something like that. But the raw image is archival, and it's the most manipulative, and it's like having... I don't know how to put it, but the most original file you could have.
So when you plug in your camera to your computer, it automatically converts that? How do you make it stop doing that?
No, not necessarily. The camera itself converts it first into a JPEG. Then you.
So how do you separate that? How do you get into
some cameras don't let you get that raw file.
Interesting.
And it's a big advantage when buying cameras to know that you can get that raw file out of, you know, the camera, because that's the most purest form of a digital file photograph. So,
all right,
you know,
Jim.
Go for it.
Okay.
Jim.
Anybody out there interested in 1939 Dacta reflex camera?
That's really cool, Jim, but we're not doing the,
eBay
radio tag sale, but I'm sure somebody will get a hold of you. Thank you, Jim. And let's go to Phyllis and Rhinebeck. Phyllis.
Hello. While I was waiting, I heard the question about batteries for old cameras.
Yes.
And one thing you can do is use hearing aid batteries. I went online because I have an old Canon, and they actually give you like an equivalent hearing aid battery. So that's something you can do. They don't last as long as an old Mercury battery, but they're cheap, so you can keep replacing them.
Well, that's good information. Thanks, Phyllis.
My question was about, I am an old-fashioned person with an old camera. I use film. I have my own darkroom, an old Omega D2V enlarger. And I get some very nice prints, and I make some 11 by 14. And in the old days, I used to make slides and send people slides. Nowadays, everybody wants a digital image. And I'm wondering how you'd recommend going from the print to a digital image.
Okay.
There's two ways to do it. You know, basically you have a flatbed scanner. This is probably the best way to go from a print to an image, because it's so hard to photograph flat things. And a flatbed scanner makes it so easy, and they're ubiquitous, and a lot of businesses use them. Another way is to photograph it old school way with a camera and with a digital camera. But I would not recommend it. One of the hardest things, like I said, to do is photograph flat objects.
So you have to keep it perpendicular to the surface. You're rolling your eyes. It's not easy.
Yeah,
you've done this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm an expert at it, I have to say. I've shot a lot of artwork. But it's, you know, the best way to do it is to shoot it with polarized lights and, you know, have a cup
maybe
of coffee.
Maybe like a lab, going to a graphics lab. That would be better.
How large is it, did you say?
Well, it's 11 by 14. It's not that big.
Yeah,
but
that'll go on a flatbed scanner.
Yeah, I can put a few of them maybe on at one time.
Even Kinko's, you know, Kinko's, FedEx, or whatever, they can scan things. And, you know, that's my highest recommendation.
And chances are, Phyllis, somebody you know, even if you're low-tech like I am, somebody you know has a flatbed scanner. They're cheap, and a lot of people have them.
It's the best way to shoot flat stuff.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks,
you're
Phyllis,
welcome.
And thanks for listening. 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. Ray Graff here. We're joined by Charlie Samuels, who comes every 3 or 4 months, and we talk photography. Last time you were here, we were in our temporary studio.
Yeah.
Now you're in the Space Age Studio A. What do you think?
Oh, man, it's brand new. Everything looks different.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah. Yes. I can even tell the sound has changed.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we sound good now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a surprise. Yeah, all right, let's go to Bill and Troy. Bill.
Ray and Charlie, thanks for taking my call. Quick question. Do you could you recommend any classes that would focus on, no pun intended, would focus on transferring photos from a camera to a computer, and then the computer programs that are used to modify the photograph.
To edit. I'm sorry, I don't have a recommendation. Maybe that's an idea. Maybe I'll start teaching something like that.
But again, this goes back to our previous caller, right?
Yeah.
Flatbed scanner and some good software, and there's a lot of software out there. Photoshop is common, right?
Right, but I would just get on the net and learn how to do it with your particular camera, and use a flatbed for sure if you're going to be transferring this stuff.
But you're going from print. You're not going from negative to digital. You're going to go from print to digital always, right?
Right.
I'm going from digital to digital, onto the computer and then manipulating on the computer.
Oh, I see.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, I mean,
should be able to plug that baby right in.
I mean, I totally recommend Photoshop. For doing that, it's
not a cheap program though.
No, but now they have a subscription service, but that's even more expensive. But it's not as scary as you think. It's a huge program, but it is very. There's so many, YouTube teaching videos out there that tell you exactly what you want to do. If you want to whiten somebody's teeth, just look it up.
Yeah.
And you want to soften their eye creases or anything, it's so easy to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it sure does. It's very good information. And I thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. 1-800-348-2551. Rosemary in Springfield, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for all the information. It's a wonderful show. I had two comments. The gentleman who was looking for the batteries, this is a second comment. I've used batteriesdirect.com.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Okay. All right.
And on the Stanhope photos, they're the kind that are similar to the ViewMaster or the Stereoscope pictures, if that helps you relate to it at all.
Sure.
But they used to sell them like at Atlantic City in the Little Viewers. But what they did in the Civil War is they used them for espionage.
Oh, I'll be darned. Are you talking about the ones that used to be on little keychains? They were sort of like pyramids almost in shape?
Exactly.
Oh, I remember those. They were cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I used to shoot for a firm in New York City called Creative Time, and they actually made some of those about, 12 years ago with my photographs, and they're so cute. They're just such a nice novelty.
Yeah, if that helps you relate to the Stanhope.
Yeah.
They had that on the Antiques Roadshow once. But I have a question about donating some of my old black and white developing and slide developing equipment.
Okay.
I've contacted a local community college, but they can't use it. So I didn't know if he had any ideas, Mr. Samuels, if you know of any group.
I'm sorry, I don't. If you've approached a school or two and you're not getting any bites, then
what about a photography club?
Is
everybody as snobby as you about digital now?
No, I shoot film too. I actually shoot.
Okay, all right. Last time you said no, I hate film. I believe was the direct quote.
I do. I kind of hate it.
No, you. Don't.
But I shoot Super 8 film, like movie film. But I would also, check the prices on eBay, see if anything you have is worth anything.
I have. Again, I don't want to have to go that whole route of print with everything.
Right.
That's annoying.
I would say schools or photography clubs then.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Thanks a lot. Well, that's interesting. Interesting program.
Huh.
I mean, are you having fun?
Yeah.
You're going to run out screaming? Because the break is coming up. All right, let's take another call. Diane in Saugerties. Diane.
Yes, hi. I have a question about making a website.
Sure.
So basically, I am making a website on Squarespace, and I'm trying to upload many digital photos to the website.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you have a suggestion for the value DPI or size of the photos that I'm uploading. I can upload them as TIFFs or JPEGs, but I definitely want people to be able to see the photos quick enough. I want them to be able to upload quickly, but I also want to maintain some quality.
Right, TIFFs are huge files.
All right. Well, first of all, I would recommend doing some research, digging around what Squarespace recommends. But the second of all, everything on the web is 72 DPI. It's all a matter of what the dimensions are. So everything you put up there has got to be 72 DPI. And then third of all, you hit upon an interesting question about what is the ultimate clarity you want to upload without making it, bog down the person's system that's looking at your website. And, normally I would say 72 DPI at like 8x10 would be reasonable. So eight inches by 10 inches, maybe a little larger because people increasingly are getting much, much faster.
Right. Broadband
download.
Access. Yeah.
But anything more than that, I don't think it makes it that much sharper, on the web.
And when you say more than that, do you mean larger DPI or larger dimension?
Either or increases the size of your file. And I would upload JPEGs, and you'd save them in Photoshop. You save them for web. It's called Save for Web, and it's the most efficient way to save the photos.
Charlie Samuels is our guest. We talk photography on Vox Pop. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings. Stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Capital Wine, corner of State and Lark Streets in the heart of Albany. Offering local, domestic, and international wines, spirits, and special orders. Tastings, Fridays 6 to 9, CapitalWineAlbany.com. And Washington County Tourism and the towns and villages therein, featuring art venues, holiday happenings, farmers markets, craft beverage, and specialty shops for holiday gift giving. WashingtonNYCounty.com. And Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades. ShannonRose.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Having a good time talking photography today with Charlie Samuels. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Charlie, you have a website, right?
Yes, it's charliesamuels.com.
And what can I find there?
You can find many photographs, portraits.
Oh, so you have some of your
sports.
Stuff up there.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. And right. That's the whole purpose
so
of it.
So getting back to our last question, what size images do you put on your website?
Mine are 72 DPI by 550. Well, I measure in pixels.
Right.
So it's 720 pixels by 500.
Okay. And so do you watermark them?
No.
So is theft a problem?
Theft is a problem in any business.
Okay. Well, they're out there on the web.
So, yeah, but, the more... A lot of photographers would disagree with me, but the more people rip them off, the more exposure you do get.
I don't think your copyright attorney would like to hear you say that, by the way.
Well, I've discussed it with Paul Rapp.
Right.
He knows what I'm doing.
All right. Next time he's here,
yeah,
we'll bring you up as a case of what not to do.
Well, you can't use, they're not high-res images.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good point.
Okay.
So for commercial ripping off purposes, not all that.
They got to come to me.
Now, let's go to Chris in Castleton. Chris, you're on.
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment and a question.
Okay.
Comment has to do with the caller asking about the underwater photography.
Yeah.
Going off to Ecuador. There are a number of underwater housings that you can buy for cameras. So you don't have to compromise so much about birding on land and then underwater as well. But my piece of advice to the caller would be don't take a new camera on a trip of a lifetime without practicing with it a lot.
Good advice.
I made that mistake in going to Egypt, and some really bad pictures, and I'm not going back. So practice.
Hey, man, that's a great bit of advice. Appreciate the call.
Definitely know your gear.
My question is just an easy one, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
Does Mr. Samuels have any recommendation for a mirrorless camera that you can actually use in daylight?
Ooh.
And I thank you.
Well, thanks a lot. You're going to hang up, Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to hang up.
All right. Very good.
A mirrorless camera.
First of all,
camera.
What the hell is a mirrorless camera?
Well, those are the new things right now, and they are really giving Nikon and Canon a run for their money.
Really?
Sony has a pair of them out that are amazing, and they can practically see, you know, in the dark, and they're just.
So it's direct to CCD. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah. Well, it's a mirrorless. You don't have a mirror going up and down,
right,
and exposing the film, and so as a consequence, you can have a smaller camera, and there are a number of advantages that they give. So what was the guy's question again?
Can you recommend?
I would recommend the Sony ASR or the Sony A7S.
Yeah, have you worked with these?
And the A7R, yeah.
And you like them?
Yeah, they're amazing.
All right, here's a quick email. This is from Steve. I have been shooting film for years and would like to move to DSLR, which is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Those are mostly Canon and Nikons.
Well, what does it mean?
It means digital single lens reflex.
Good answer.
Which means it has a mirror in it, and it moves out of the way and lets the film expand.
All right, Steve goes on. I have a lot of Nikon lenses, 18mm to 600mm. Uh-huh. Being visually impaired, I need the brightest viewfinder I can get. Am I better off to get an FX DSLR as opposed to a DX format camera? I have no idea what you're talking about. I've seen DX format cameras in the store, and they seem very dim. I have not looked through an FX format camera yet. The local stores do not have any on the shelf to look at.
Okay, well, DX and FX have nothing to do with dimness.
Okay.
They have to do with the format of the sensor and where the light is exposed. An FX is about two-thirds of a 35mm slide.
Okay.
And did I say FX? Yeah. A DX. So FX. No, FX is a full slide.
I'm just going to nod off here. Okay. You just go on with the letters.
And then the other one is smaller. So it's basically cropping and, you know, the format.
Ah.
So it's making a 50mm lens act like a 75mm
okay,
lens.
Okay, so as far as the display, he just needs to find one that has a brightness control on the display?
Yeah, I mean, the brightness has nothing to do with it.
Okay. So
it's really nothing.
So you should be able to find one that allows you to ratchet up the brightness.
Sure, but I would recommend FX, a full frame.
Okay.
And they're slightly more expensive, but it's worth it.
All right, over to Steve and Rensselaer. Hiya, Steve, you're on.
Hi. Just a comment and a question about the caller who called before and wanted to transfer her film to digital.
Okay.
And you're recommending a flatbed scanner. I have a film scanner that I've had great success with. I want to know what your opinion of that is.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, she happened to have prints, so that's why I was recommending flatbed. But
if she has prints, she had to have negatives.
I don't know. I heard her say she had prints.
Yeah.
But if you obviously a film scanner that goes to the original slide or negative, and that's the best way to go. But flatbeds are way more ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
You can buy a slide scanner fairly inexpensively.
Yeah, pretty
USB,
much.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've been using mine for like 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing slide scanner. So yeah, but. You're right. That's another way to scan your photographs, is to scan the actual original negative or slide on a film scanner.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Over to John in Plainsfield, Mass. John, you're on.
Well, thanks. I happen to be actually following up with the same comment. The woman, you know, was making prints and was making prints, so it sounded like she certainly had an enlarger.
Yeah.
And thus, she would have had either a slide or the negative. And I was wondering. So I think we just took care of my question there, which is wonderful.
Right. Don't you hate that?
Why not use the scanner? You know,
you wait on hold for 20 minutes, and then the person ahead of you asks the same question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I did about 3,000 of my dad's collection a few years ago. And that took about 500 hours.
Wow.
Yep.
So it's a daunting process, but I just leave mine on my desktop, and when I'm doing mindless work or reading a book, I just pop them in,
yep.
And it's about 10 or 15 seconds. But it certainly, you know, with a medium kind of quality, high-end quality, you can do pretty well at transferring that over.
The other thing about flatbed scanners is they're geared towards a consumer market, and they're a lot easier to manipulate. Film scanners are geared towards professionals almost exclusively. And, man, even I have problems with those things. Man, they are just, they can be really finicky. So,
yep, very, very true. And to get your settings just right and all of that.
Yep.
And but if you have good images and you're already at that level, it's so worth it.
Oh,
and,
definitely. I totally
agree. And actually, if you have a ton of them, it probably is worth it to have a professional do it.
Yep.
And, you know, just for the headache of it all.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, John, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
We appreciate you hanging in there and making your call. Let's go to Greg in Shutesbury, Mass. Greg, you're on.
Hey there. Good afternoon. Thank you so much. Great show.
Thanks.
Already answered a bunch of my questions,
all
which
right.
is great.
That's convenient.
You know, my dad's Exacta that he used to take ektachromes through Canada in the 50s and 60s have been able to be transferred. Question is, my wife and I both have Canon A1s when we were early adopters of that beautiful FD lens system. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty heavily invested in it. And now, of course, it's kind of a diminishing return. Still do beautiful things, but we'd love to be able to use a digital back on the Canon to utilize the FD lens system because of the quality of the glass and the optics. What are the pros and cons? Do the coatings work? Does the distance to the film back or the CCD plane? How does all that function?
Well, have you found a digital back for the Canon A1?
No, I'm the kind of guy that can do everything from a septic system to a digital circuit. So I was thinking some duct tape, baling wire, and a butter knife, and I'd have it.
You know
done.
What? That's you know what? Also, you should be hosting the show. So come on in here tomorrow, and we'll have you in here.
No, I have not found a digital back. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest barrier right now.
Okay.
If you can find that or jerry rig something like that, then the lenses would be fine. Absolutely. The optics work almost exactly the same way.
And the distance between the film and the CCD plane would be the same?
As long as you get that CCD in the exact spot where the film was.
Okay, very good. And how about the aspect ratio of the lenses?
They'll be the same because they're in the same focal plane.
Beautiful.
Yeah, try it.
Oh. Great show. I'm glad I waited. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Right. We appreciate the call. I think we lost Tina, who was on line three. I think we lost everybody. So I'll just whistle a...
Let's talk. Well, like I said before, I really think that we're living in the golden age of photography right now.
Yeah.
And any price point you have for your Christmas list, whoever what you want to buy for, you're going to be able to find a great camera.
Oh, that's a good point. It is holiday time, gift giving and whatnot. What's on your list?
I'm not buying any photography stuff right
really?
Now. No.
No? Have you ever photographed Santa Claus?
No.
Santa I mean, Claus. In flight. I'm not talking about at the mall, man. You know, you've done a lot of sports photography. You catch the sleigh, that's going to be worth some mambo bucks.
That's true, man. If whoever catches him first is going to be the most famous photographer
all
in the
right,
world.
All right, Samuels, that's your job for this holiday season. Let's go to Judy in Woodstock. Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
Very interesting show.
Are you sure you're listening to this radio station?
No. Yes, I'm listening to this radio
station. Okay, well, you're on.
I'm a member.
Oh, nice to have you.
Anyway. Here's my question. I was on a group trip. I generally buy, and I think what I had at that point was an 18X Canon. I guess they consider it a pro amateur kind of digital camera. It is not an SLR. Mm-hmm. I always thought the lens was very good. There was a guy on the trip who had a digital SLR, and he took pictures of some of the same things I did. Mm-hmm. He put them online, and at that online resolution, his pictures looked much better than mine. Was that just the optics?
From here, it would be very hard for me to tell the difference.
Hey, be very, very tactful. She's a member.
Yeah, okay, all right. You had what's called, what they call in the industry as a prosumer camera, and that
right.
person had a DSLR. Generally, a DSLR has a better sensor, and generally, if you're going to invest in that, you may be manipulating the photo, maybe better. And you're not just taking it out of the camera. You're actually, you know, buttering it up with color and contrast and all that kind of stuff. And
I can do all that stuff.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't know if he did or not. I'm a Photoshop junkie.
Yeah, it probably is because it was a better sensor then.
Because I am using an 18x, and I guess there's a trade-off there, right?
What's an 18x? A zoom?
Yeah, it's one of the smaller cameras that has basically moderate wide angle to 18x.
Okay, 18x is a big stretch, so it's probably a non-optical zoom, and that's a huge trade-off. Like I explained.
No, it is an optical. It's an
really?
Optical zoom. It goes further with the optical with the in camera, and I always turn that off because it's basically something I can't do.
Oh, good. Oh, awesome. I'm glad you do that. I'm glad you have the option to turn that off. Well, yeah, your 18x is a real stretch, and you're basically making the camera. You're forcing the camera to use a smaller f-stop as you extend that zoom. So you need to concentrate on, holding the camera steadier, or you need more light.
Okay.
So
yeah, it was a fairly low light situation.
There you go. We isolated the problem.
Judy, thanks a lot
for the
call. We appreciate you listening. And let's go over to Jim in, where are you calling from, Jim?
Call from Cheshire, Massachusetts.
Oh, Cheshire. Gotcha.
Yep.
Says Frisha.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you for your help. What I'd like to know is get some hints about taking pictures at night, especially like Christmas decorations. I have a SLR camera.
Okay. Tripod. Definitely put it on a tripod.
And
if
no flash?
You're shooting at night. Flash.
I don't know. No flash. Is it manual settings? Or?
Right. If you use a flash, you're most likely going to blow out the Christmas tree lights, and they will be less colorful, much less colorful in most instances. So use existing light, put it on a tripod, long exposure, pay attention to what the camera tells you it recommends, and you should be in great shape.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim. And I always have that trouble because all I use is my iPhone.
Oh.
And it's I have to make sure I turn the auto flash off. Otherwise, you get the branches. You don't get the beautiful colored lights.
Yeah. Well, existing light, in my opinion, is almost always better. Mm. And what you see is what you get pretty much with existing light. But if you put on the flash, it just pops off and you're not so sure what you're going to get.
Right, you are. Let's go to Paul in Saugerties. Paul.
Hi. Somebody had asked a question earlier about digital programs. I used to use Photoshop. I had an earlier version of CS3, and I couldn't upgrade it without buying a whole new program. Yeah. But I looked at Adobe product also called Lightroom, and it's a quite powerful product, good for a lot of manipulating of photos, sizing, and whatever.
Sure.
And it runs a little over $100, I think.
It's Lightroom, you said?
Yeah, it's called Lightroom. Adobe Lightroom.
Adobe Lightroom.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good.
Apple has a product also. I'm blanking what that is, but Lightroom is beautiful, and there's a lot of information online on how to use it. It's pretty intuitive, also.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
One program we used to use for the website in years past was Fireworks.
Oh.
It was a very simple, not too expensive program. Would turn out nice PNGs for the website. So that was a good one. All right.
There's another format of photographs.
PNGs. Portable network graphic, right?
Yeah.
I even knew that one. All right. I'm afraid it's too late to take another call because we're just about out of time here. Once again, Charlie Samuels, your website.
CharlieSamuels.com. Thanks for mentioning that. Yep.
Yeah, and, well, that's great.
So please take a look if you get a chance.
Well, that was a fun show, right?
Yeah, was good. We had a lot of questions.
You did very well, and your assignment is Christmas Eve. You're out there with whatever DSLR, whatever you want.
Santa.
I want the sleigh, and I want it in action, and I want it by the next program. All right?
All right.
All right, thanks, everybody.
All right, thank you, Ray.
Thanks for calling. Support comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Miracle on 34th Street, weekends December 11th through December 20th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, offering a new musically themed Sunday brunch, realseafoodco.com/brunch for menu. and the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, HydeCollection.org. Once again, thanks to Charlie Samuels. Thanks to you for calling and for listening. Thanks to Zachary Malloy at the controls. Bruce Herbach answered your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, I'm told, Bobby Berman will be in the house. We'll talk astronomy. Till then, have a good day.